kind of think we should do a fishing show. He's got me. He's got me fired up here.
I'll tell you what. Our first guest today to talk Aggie basketball. We're lucky a cold front hit, or he'd be on the lake right now. We wouldn't be able to pull him out of there.
Well, I learned a lot of things. Basketball, Texas A&M, and being associated with Shelby Metcalf. One of the things I learned ancillary to that was how to fish. Hard to appreciate fishing. So yeah, I'm doing a little bit of that these days.
He's got the spot for it. Can we get an internet connection out there by the lake house?
I've got a little checklist things of who can come and visit and who can't, and I'll go check to see where you guys
see where we're on there.
Yeah,
we'll see.
You can accumulate.
There's
points.
A rankings list. Oh man,
there probably is. One of us would probably be able to get on. I don't think the Homeowners Association would allow both of us out
we
there.
We would go in at night when they don't see you.
That's a good call.
And
in the trunk of the car.
Requires you to be fishing savvy, and I don't think either of us qualify.
I've got equipment for everybody that comes, and I've got a couple of Zebcos I could hook
you
up.
Yeah. Well, we can come watch Aggie basketball.
Yeah.
But we can qualify for that, can't we?
Yeah, it's not a far walk from the living room to the pier or to the boat dock. So,
yeah,
he could do that.
That's good. All convenient. Dr. John Thornton joining us on this Friday. We're going to talk a little Aggie basketball. And I mean, you've just become an analyst. you know, we've seen you're on radio quite a bit. You helped us with our SEC Network games in December and – November as well, but I mean, you're just a true guru now, more than you ever were on Aggie basketball, even when you coached and played.
Exactly. How about that? I don't know what that says about me or what they need, but no, it's been absolutely fun. Obviously, worked with you with the broadcast for the non-conference games and having a great seat there at midcourt. This is the year to have them because it's a fun product right now.
Man, well, what a ball club. The Aggies are in the top 10, and quite frankly, if you win tomorrow against Missouri, you could put Ann Rising on that status. So well into the top 10. I think Aggie fans get excited about bracketologies that come out. Some show the Aggies as a 3 seed. I think there's one that has them as high as a 2 seed. But the excitement is in abundance, John. But as a fan, you almost have to revert to what a player is thinking right now. We all think about maybe a title and March Madness. Well, it's Missouri. As a player and a coach, you've been there. It's only the next one when you're in that locker room in those coaches' office.
No, there's no question about that. And people can give that lip service as far as a player, coach, whatever, but it's still hard to do. I mean, there's so many games in basketball. And, you know, I'm not going to compare it to any other sport, but if you can compare it to baseball, they play so much. I mean, it's when you're playing 2 or 3 times a week, then you got to really work on the mental preparation and not losing your edge as far as what's made you good. And there's nobody in the SEC, especially this year, you show up and going to win a game. You're not going to show up and beat anybody. But if you show up prepared, this team's got talent. It's got depth. Been very fortunate with the injury thing. So you got a lot of things going for you, but can't get distracted. It's, I think if I remember correctly, last time we played Missouri at home, I think it was either a 2-point ball game at halftime or they might have even been ahead. Mm-hmm. And I know this is a different team, but at the same time, anybody's capable, and I know it's cliche, but anybody's capable of beating anybody. And if you're not ready to go, it could happen. I look at Auburn right now. Auburn's, you know, doing some stuff, which nobody would have predicted that to happen. And the season goes through so many of those little twists and turns. And so this is a critical, critical part because people are going to start beating each other up right now, and it's going to help those guys that are at the top. We're at the top. Let's take care of us. Let them beat each other up. And let's see how it all flays out here in the next 2 weeks.
Well, and you've said the word quite a bit, and I think that really describes this group. It is a team. It is truly. They have built a team of guys. You don't. It's not one of those where okay, if this guy scores 20, we have a chance to beat anybody. It doesn't matter if a guy's having an off night or this guy's playing well or that guy's playing well. They've got so many pieces. They can mix. They can match. They can go inside. They can play. That to me, is the most fun thing to watch about this group.
Yeah, the limitations that Coach Kennedy and his staff have had to deal with up until this year, a lot of it has to do with depth. A lot of it has to do with getting what you want to try to get done with the team that you got, the cast of characters that you have. And that's, you know, that's what coaching's all about. But like you just said, what happens is when you have depth and you have, the experience that they have, you've got so much more you're capable of doing, and it's not dependent on 1, 2, 3 guys. I mean, obviously you want your best players to play well, but at the same time, and we talked before the broadcast a little bit, but how about you playing LSU? Arguably one of the biggest games we've played this year, competition for the lead in the league. not off to the greatest start offensively other than Tyler Davis. And then Admon comes off the bench, hits two threes in critical times. I mean, so where it used to be we would tread water substituting or get worse, tread water or get worse. When we substitute now, you have a chance to stay the same or get better, mm-hmm. you know, and there's plenty of options there.
John Thornton with us here talking Texas A&M basketball. News that came out today, folks, the next two home games, general public tickets sold out. Missouri tomorrow sold out. Iowa State coming in next Saturday for the SEC Big 12 Challenge sold out. So quickly, Will, these games are starting to – the tickets are going to be harder and harder to come by. Students, there are 5,000 seats held for you, so – you can still go. That's not sold out for you. You got to get there early. Did you see the lines at Reed Arena Tuesday night? So it's this atmosphere. We saw this about 10 years ago maybe, and it carried for several seasons. It's a special time. Enjoy it and make sure, fans, you have seats to come watch this. It's a special time.
Yeah, and even after this, after you get Missouri and Iowa State, there's games on Saturday in College Station. February 6th against South Carolina. Look what Frank Martin is doing with that program. February 20th against Kentucky. I mean, those are going to be two potentially real deciders on who the SEC champion is this year. And John, I think that's a valid point to bring up because when you play in a sport like college basketball, everybody gets so excited, like I mentioned earlier, about March. What can you do in March? I think to a certain effect, some people are losing a little bit of sight to what it means to these players and coaches to be crowned a conference champion, to hold that trophy up early in March. It is so hard to do, and that's something that needs to be cherished by everybody. The fact that the Aggies are about to roll into February with a chance to be crowned Southeastern Conference champions for the first time in their tenure in this league.
As a coach and as a player, to be a champion, and I don't think it's changed, even though the game's changed, is to consider yourself a champion of a league, and especially of a league that's good and there's competition in it. It's something that you take the rest of your life. And you know, we've had that run where we had six straight NCAA appearances. Mm-hmm. It wasn't one conference championship in them. So, I mean, those were good teams. But that shows you how important or how hard it is to win a championship.
Yeah.
And that's something that's extremely, extremely important. I mean, you think about it. The last time we won one was in 86. I mean, I know when you say that, well, basketball hasn't been – well, it had, but you were six straight NCAA tournaments, so we didn't win one. But you talk about the league and all that kind of stuff. But we're in the mix of it right now. Mm-hmm. And in a very – everybody would trade places with us to be where we are right now. Especially if what we played on the road, what we've done on the road, to be where we are, we have a chance. And that's what's interesting. And there's so many things factor into it. Injuries, don't want anybody to get hurt. Keep doing what you're doing, playing hard, playing together. Great leadership from the seniors. You have a great point guard that's putting people in the right position to win. And so you got all that going for you. But one of those factors, and I saw it this last game, was that home court, the electricity that was created by the atmosphere. That's how you win championships. I am so excited that the Missouri game is going to have a chance to have that type of an atmosphere. The crowd can literally pick you up and pull you through tough times in games. Mm-hmm. And they can also, when you get that little bit of a flow, they can ramp that flow. It's a multiplier. There it goes. It goes from a 4-point lead to an 8-point lead to a 12-point lead because the crowd gets you so jacked up. That defense gets a little bit better. That offensive rebound you put back. You know, it comes. So the effort is, you know, you want to play hard all the time, but the crowd can really impact the effort.
And this man speaks from experience, Will, because he played at was my all-time favorite venue. And I know the old Ags know what we're talking about, a packed-out G. Raleigh White Coliseum. That place was, I mean, and you can feel that at Reed Arena.
No, Laney and I were driving to the game the other night, and we, you know, actually went early. We were going to get there, you know, we left to get there about an hour early, and we turned that corner, and it's been so long since I've seen a student crowd that stretched from every entrance that was possible for them to get in for hundreds of yards. Mm-hmm. And I actually got goosebumps. I go, this is what it's supposed to be.
Wow.
And not, you know, that's what it's supposed to be for the coaches. That's what it's supposed to be for the players. But that's what it's supposed to be for fans.
Yeah.
Tell me they aren't having fun. How much fun is that to be in there and be a part of that environment?
And here's what I think so cool about the announcement of a Missouri sellout. Say what you want. Missouri is struggling. You probably don't put them in the category of the highest profile opponent right now. This crowd is coming because they want to see this Aggie basketball team. That is how good they're playing right now. That's what this team deserves. And the 12th man and Aggies are clearly responding to this team.
No, I agree with you, and it's a credit to them to do this, to realize it. But what's also important to I think, realize is, you know, when you hear people talk about why do you go to basketball, why do you like basketball, tell me what's not to like about this team. tell me what about basketball that you want to see that you can't see coming and watching this team play. You know, I'd like to treat it just to kind of analyze that. But, I mean, you got it all. You got guys that – I mean – you got guys that literally hit 7 threes in a game. You know, you really do. I mean, you got – how many guys do we have on our team that could do that?
Oh, man.
Yeah, how many guys do we have that are going to, you know, do some rip-run dunk on a fast break? We got a lot of guys that can do that. We got a post player that pretty much a dominant player in the league right now. We got a point guard that gives it everything he's absolutely got on every trip down the floor. So figure out something that there's not to like.
Yeah, we're going to have the analyst put his analyst hat on, break this team
down.
We'll come back after the break. Yeah, I do. I want you to help break down this squad just to kind of explain to people that decide maybe whether or not they want to come to a game or not. What's so special out there on that court? We got Dr. John Thornton with us here on Studio 12. It's a Friday edition. Aggie fans, for all your printing, large format, sign and mailing needs, call Alpha Graphics of Bryan College Station, the official printing partner of Texas A&M Athletics, 979-779-1234. We're back to the south end zone of Kyle Field in just a bit here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Studio 12 from the south end zone of Kyle Field, getting ready for the weekend. This is the Friday edition. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock at Reed Arena, Texas A&M Aggies, the 8th-ranked team in the country, taking on the Missouri Tigers. SEC play continues. The Aggies hoping to remain undefeated. Will and Matt back with you. We've got Dr. John Thornton with us, and we are somewhat going to break down this team a little bit, at least kind of talk about some individuals that are playing so well, and that's a long list. That's the thing about it. It's not like this team is being led by a couple of guys that are needing the ball late in games and when it matters. I mean, in crunch time, whenever it may be, anybody can take that shot for this team right now. That's what's one of the things about depth that you talked about. But one of the guys that – if I just look at the stat column and points per game right now, it's almost jaw-dropping what Jalen Jones is doing. I mean, we've talked about that on this show previously, that there's 4 performances by an Aggie in which one of them scored 25 or more in a game. Well, they're all Jalen Jones. Twice now, SEC Player of the Week. You think about his progression from when he was a junior to a senior. What's been key with Jalen as to why it's almost staggering the point production he's putting up at the moment?
Well, I think what he's really tapped into is matching up what he's good at and getting that done. I mean, you think about it. I mean, that sounds like, you know, just a no-brainer, but he's an explosive guy, and he can get to the rim, and he can get to the rim from the low, low spot on the block, or he can get to the rim from 15 feet out, and so he does that. I mean, he could put it on the floor. Those matchups, he creates problems for people because he can put it on the floor and get there. He can just brute force get you and spin, get to the glass, and then also he can finish. So he's starting with that part of his game, and then he can also, guess what, he can step out and shoot the three. And so what I think he's taken the strength of what his game is and then he's expanding it as it develops in the course of a game. His shot selection has been really, really good lately. You don't see him – I mean, he's a go-to guy, but you don't see him, you know, forcing it. You want him to go do things. And he's going to the free throw line. That's one of the things that I think is kind of subtle that people miss a little bit. If you're a good player – You're shooting a lot of free throws.
Yeah.
And I'd have to go back and look, but I think he's probably at the line as much as anybody. And Tyler's doing it because he's just around the block, and people have to jump on him to keep him from scoring. But Jalen goes the line a lot.
Jalen's attempted in SEC play more free throws than anybody on the squad there. You mentioned Tyler. I wanted to ask you about him because I think people had kind of been talking about him a little bit, but the game against LSU is really where maybe his name popped up big time there. Just talk about what you saw out of him. And again, LSU, like, obviously Ben Simmons, but there's a lot of big dudes on the floor did great.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, we've been spoiled because the freshmen, there hasn't been a big learning curve for these guys. I mean, obviously they're learning. Defensively, they've gotten better, getting an idea of what we're trying to do team-wise. They get that. But, I mean, you don't see the awe, the intimidation, or you haven't seen it that much. But you've seen, you know, nights where it just didn't go exactly right because we're a little bit spoiled. We saw him be such a force early. Well, that was what you just said was critical about him. That's a talented team that guess what? They know about him, and they had a game plan to keep him from being a dominant player. They were running people at him. They were doing some things in the way that they rotated defensively. So, if anything, he looked as good as he's looked in that environment, which that's impressive. I mean, absolutely impressive. Now, I know you guys have basketball backgrounds. You know, it's just obvious.
By that, you mean
watch it
on TV, right?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you've been double teamed.
Freshman basketball at a 3A school, that's a background.
12-year-old rec league basketball, 10-year-old.
Well, okay, so maybe you don't get this. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and go forward.
Our basketball background is hanging around you, man.
But, it's tough. I mean, this is a tough he's getting one-on-one matchups with athletic people. He's got other people looking, hedging to come at him. So it's not that you just beat one guy, but you got to be careful because there's somebody coming from your blind side. There's somebody digging from out front. It's not like you're doing it just one-on-one. And in his situation, I thought he handled that as well as I've seen him all year long. Know when to go quick to the basket, know when to load up and go powerful to the basket, know when to spin, know when to use a glass, use the other side of the rim. That's a lot of stuff that he's capable, but you put it in that environment with those many things going on in your head. I mean, he started out 6-for-6 from the floor. I mean, pretty much a good game, I think.
Yeah, I'll take that.
And I thought, you'll go back to December, Tyler was named SEC Freshman of the Week after – A&M had played Baylor, which meant he went against Rico Gathers. I mean, that's a difficult matchup for a freshman. Gathers is one of the best big men in the country. And, I mean, he played well enough in that one to be named SEC Freshman of the Week the following Monday. So he's doing it against great competition. It's a great season for him.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it's part him, part game plan, but also part crowd. And now people remember this, but here's your big guy. He's a load, right? So House misses the dunk. Mm-hmm. Who ran the length of the floor and was the first guy there to follow it up?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a guy that can motor.
Yeah.
And I think the crowd got him going. Mm-hmm. But he's the kind of guy that, he can make free throws. He can run the floor. He's doing a better job defensively. He needs to stay out of foul trouble. But that's one of those kind of deals you got to work on.
And you mentioned a guy there, Daniel House. Sometimes maybe the shots don't fall from outside, but look what he did against LSU. He contributed in other areas.
Right.
Assists and rebounds. He was magnificent. With Daniel, and you kind of mentioned this when we had some of the broadcasts back in November and December, if shots aren't falling outside, perhaps it would behoove him to get to the basket and get his night started that way.
Yeah, well, great players have great confidence. He has great confidence, and he's got deep range. He really does, and he can create shots for himself, and he can do it from a distance. We got that, and he's got that. But that's the good news. The bad news is don't just totally settle. Mm-hmm. And he's going to hit him. He's going to have a big night. There's no question. It'll happen. But take a page out of Jalen's book right here. You put it on the floor. Get into the paint. There's a lot of things that are designed for him one-on-one. And one part of his game is let it come to you, but, get in situations where you can go free throw line. Let's score easy a little bit. We can run the floor, get some putbacks, do that type of thing. Now, can his game be large, and can he do a lot of things? Yeah. Is it going to happen every night? No. Do we need him to have that every night? No.
Mm-hmm.
But we do need him to be doing what he did in that game, not get frustrated. He defended still.
Yeah.
He was leading rebounder, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And then his assists were up.
Yeah.
And because he's drawn a crowd. I mean, it's not like they're going to let – it's not going to be one-on-one. It's going to be team defense. And so, when they help, somebody's open. And then what the Aggies have done, which is really, really kind of one of the subtle things, is making the extra pass. And you see it said all the time, but it really is. And that's what Alex and Anthony do a great job of, shooting shots in rhythm when they get the extra pass. You can shoot a good shot, but you can shoot a great shot with one more pass. And, mm-hmm. and it starts with somebody creating a mismatch, which Tyler does, because you have to double team. Jalen does. You have to double team, keep him out of the lane. Daniel, same way. But then the sharing of the basketball and making an extra pass for somebody to shoot a shot that's in rhythm and they can hit.
Mm-hmm. And then those two guys, I mean, the two ACs, Anthony Collins and Alex Caruso. I just marvel at Alex that he's already broken the steals record at A&M. He's honing in on the assist record at A&M. If you hold those two records at a school, To me, it just says something about the team player and the hustle and the effort you showed over a four-year career.
There's no question. And I think that because there's so much going on right now, that's kind of like under the radar a little bit, which is fine because that means there's a lot of good stuff going on. But at the same time, I mean, you know, I do have a little history here, but you're talking about guys like David Edwards. You're talking about Todd Holloway was a four-year starter, you know, in the championship team last time in one of the 86, four-year starter. You have Dave Goff that was arguably the point guard of the best team that's played here, you know, up to this point. So Daryl McDonald had the steals for a season. You know, I mean, there's a bunch of guys that have played here that were really, really good and played a lot of minutes. Well, Alex is blowing all of that away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's, you know, not remarkable that it's occurring this early with the conference play going. So the guy is absolutely special, absolutely special. And then Anthony, we don't give him enough credit probably, but Anthony Collins has done that at some other school and now brought it here. Mm-hmm. And you put those two guys together, how big is that for your team?
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. I mean, that's it. You know, and we could spend the rest of the hour and then another hour on top of that just breaking down this entire roster. It's a special group for sure. And again, folks, tomorrow's game against Missouri, sold out general public. Next Saturday against Iowa State, sold out general public. Aggie students, if you're listening, bought 5,000 tickets for both games are set aside for you. You need to present your valid student ID and your 12th man sports pass that you use to get into football. You get in free. Highly recommend you get there early. So you're going to wait in a line, but hopefully you're not you're getting in the building. Yeah, it's worth it. I mean, it's a blast. Almost 14,000 people in the arena this past Tuesday against LSU. And for fans coming to the game tomorrow, next Saturday, obviously, traffic is an issue with that many people coming to the game. You want to get there early. You want to plan. Visit Transportation Services website. You can check out traffic routes. You can check out live traffic maps, all that stuff to help you get there. Doc, good to see you, and we'll try to both stay out of the East Texas Lake House area there. We don't want to ruin your rep around your
Well, I do have a lock on my gate, so I'm not real worried about
he's
it.
He's got a gate, too.
He's got lake cred over there, and we don't want to ruin that.
No, we don't want to do that. We do not want to do that. Appreciate the time, and we'll see you at Reed tomorrow.
Hey, look forward to the rest of the season.
Brazos Valley Recycling wants to remind you to help keep Reed Arena sustainable by using the recycling receptacles throughout the arena. To learn more about ways you can recycle, visit BrazosValleyRecycling.com. More Studio 12 in just a bit here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. If you're a fan of snacking, you'll be a fan of new DQ Bakes Snack Melts with flavors like buffalo chicken and chicken bacon barbecue served hot out of the oven at participating locations. DQ, this is fan food, not fast food. Matt and Will back with you, the south end zone of Kyle Field. Friday edition of Studio 12. Continuing the class up the joint, Will. We started with John Thornton. Now we'll bring in Steve Miller. This is
that's classing up.
This is the all-star cast here.
Well, it is, but don't think too highly of yourself.
I was going to say, that was
it's
a
real easy to class us up.
That bar we set pretty high already.
Yeah, well, we set our bar pretty low, so we bring you guys in and class the joint up there.
I mean, he is a PhD.
He was clearly the smartest man in the room when he was in here. But you could say that about anybody that comes and sits with us for 15 minutes there.
So you get to be the smartest man now, Steve.
You're welcome. All right, caller, totally, go ahead.
You're totally welcome.
The Aggie women last night, and I think, you know, Steve, probably being overshadowed just because of all the hype the men's team is getting, this women's team has put themselves together a pretty darn good season. An overtime win over a ranked Missouri team yesterday to stay in contention for the SEC title. Still a bunch of basketball left to play. Last night at Reed Arena, the Aggies overcame a pretty frustrating fourth quarter. They were able to still hold on and get the victory and protect the home court.
I mean, they had in the third quarter, A&M outscores Missouri 27-17 and has a 15-point lead.
So you're cruising.
Yeah, 15-point lead late in the third and go to the fourth quarter and get, like, one basket over the final
there was a lid
8
on the
minutes
basket
of the game. And all of a sudden you look up and it's 60-58 the wrong way, and it becomes free throw fest. And Courtney Walker, who's about an 82-83% free throw shooter. Her margin's kind of gone down the last couple of years, you know, down to 83. That's still pretty good. It's better than any one of us three could go up
down
there.
To 83.
Yeah, down to 83. She ends up for the game, after it was all said and done, 12 of 13 from the free throw line, one of the best free throw outings in Texas A&M history, and in clutch situations. And at one point, she was fouled in the waning seconds of regulation and has to go hit three free throws. And I think even at one point she was up there hitting free throws and an official decided to call a review in the middle of a free throw. So she had all sorts of people trying to ice her. It was like a bad kicker in the AFC championships or something.
You got to be impressed, I think, with the way that this team responds. A game in Columbia, South Carolina that you got to feel could have, maybe should have been yours. Weren't able to pull that out. Frustrating way the game ends, to come back here at home against a team that's in the top 25 and get a win like that, even with a fourth quarter that went very wrong for you, to still find a way to win. That kind of shows what this group has, especially these seniors, you know, pulling this team through.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned South Carolina and end of games. I mean, that's no secret how that thing ended up. But it almost repeated itself last night, because the Aggies make a great defensive stand and get an out-of-bounds play at the other end of the floor, and all they have to do now is just safely inbound the ball for 3 seconds, and you're going to go to overtime. You've managed to overcome all odds, and the Aggies essentially screw up the inbounds play and throw it towards the TV announcers, and no one touches it, so now Missouri gets the ball underneath their basket. With 3 seconds, all they need to do is inbound and score, and they had already hit 7 3-pointers or whatnot in the ball game. And A&M's defense steps up again and gets the ball and is able to force the overtime. But gosh, you know, you're coming down to the very end in these things, and end of game situations are so important, and you get opportunities to practice those. And we even saw the new rules in effect last night, where you can call a timeout in the final minute of regulation and overtime and advance the ball.
Yeah.
So now, instead of going, you know, one end of the floor, you're up 28 feet away from the basket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that came into play last night, and it's the rules have changed. I think it's a good rule, kind of adds some excitement really at the end of each quarter.
Yeah, it can, but I think sometimes you're just flat out of timeouts.
That's
because
true.
There's
That's
not very
true.
Many that timeouts in the game, yeah. So you can only use it if you've called a timeout. You know, in the NBA, I think they get like 9 40. Nine timeouts. I think they get an extra plus 4 in the final 2 minutes or something. And in the women's side right now, you've got 4 timeouts, but only 3 in the second half. So if you've used them, you have very limited opportunities, but everybody gets an extra one in overtime. But it is interesting how that can affect the game.
Yeah.
You're no longer having to go against a full court press. You just need to inbound the ball to your end of the floor.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Courtney Walker last night with the 12 of 13 from the free throw line. The two overtime games the Aggies have played this year, she's been so brilliant in that extra stanza, helping A&M beat Duke and Missouri. But also, last night, what about Jordan Jones? Because you could see the 20 points, did it efficiently with 8 of 14 shooting, but also the other stats, 6 assists, 3 steals, she threw in some rebounds. Just, she continues to mean so much, as a good point guard does for a team.
She's put together some really good games here in the last few weeks. And I think last night, she said as much, meant more. That opponent, if you recall a year ago, the Aggies are really playing at a very high level. And at the end of last February, she gets hurt in that game where the Aggies had a huge lead over Missouri at Reed Arena.
Right.
She gets hurt. She's out for the season. And A&M ends up losing on a buzzer beater to Missouri. And the season didn't go very well from then on.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had a little something extra in the tank last night for Missouri. Everywhere you look up, she's, you know, everywhere on the floor. She's still the two-time defending SEC Defensive Player of the Year. That is not taken away from her, and they have to account for her. But when you're able to put in 20 points as a point guard and get – how many assists did she have?
Six assists.
So she's also dishing the ball away. She accounts for 3 steals, and she was able to limit her turnovers as well. And I think that was something that had kind of gotten her the last couple of games. But, you know, as in a Gary Blair team, mm-hmm. the point guard is the key to his scheme. Always has been. That's no secret. And so I would say as Jordan goes, this team goes. And they played again without Courtney Williams, who is still struggling with her back injury, and played very limited minutes at South Carolina, played no minutes last night. And really, I guess the key for her is the rest part. And now the Aggies are off this weekend on the women's side. They'll go on the road next Thursday and then come home next Saturday to take on South Carolina for the second time in 14 days. So you hope Courtney Williams back for that. But again, the team is clicking.
Yeah,
no question about that.
Yeah,
are you not entertained?
Entertain me.
Entertain Reed me. Arena.
You mentioned the scheduling.
It's the place to be.
Steve, it's next Sunday, South Carolina at home. This home schedule the rest of the way, I'm telling you, I was looking at this. This is really, really impressive. South Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi State, LSU, Kentucky. That's an incredible
wow.
home stretch left for Texas A&M. All of it culminating, like you said, or next up will be South Carolina coming in next Sunday at 5. It's a nationally televised game. Tickets online, 12thman.com/tickets. I want to ask you about Chelsea Jennings and what she's meant
great.
To this team. She, you know, you could say just kind of was under the radar, played her role, did whatever she needed to do as she's now a senior on this squad. These last few games, 12-11 against Georgia and Arkansas. Struggles a bit against LSU, but then 29 points against Ole Miss, 14-7 against one of the best teams in the country on the road, and then last night, 22 points for her. What she meant to the team?
She has a contagious energy, and she is playing at a very consistent high level this season. And again, the energy that she puts out on both ends of the floor in conference play, she's averaging about 14 points a game or so. And it should be higher because one of the games she only had, I think, like 2 points in one of the conference games. But she had a dynamite defensive game in that same outing. And so you put together what she's been averaging in that game, her average would be even higher. And she is someone you have to account for. In the South Carolina game last week, they had rotations where she was guarding South Carolina's best player, who's much taller than her. Last night, you look out on the court, she's guarding someone who's much taller. She's a mismatch. It doesn't matter. Just to whom I guard, coach. I will do that. Plays with a reckless abandonment and is scoring. And that's the thing. It's one thing to play good defense. It's another thing to play good defense and be a consistent point scorer. Another 20-point game for her. She put in 29 at home the other night. You're like, whoa. Hey, that's great. You know, here's another 20-point game tonight. And really picking up where Courtney Williams being hurt has obviously offered some more opportunities to folks. But Chelsea was already taking advantage of her opportunities starting pretty much every game this season. Great. You know, if there was a senior newcomer and just what she's doing in her senior year, as the last go-around for her, she's making it very memorable for herself and her teammates.
Yeah, certainly is. And I also noticed A&M getting to 4-2 in the SEC with this win, and Kentucky took a loss.
He was moving day in the SEC last night. Mississippi State lost at Georgia. Kentucky lost at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And the Ole Miss coach was the longtime assistant at Kentucky, Matt Insull. And so you see how those things collide. And they beat them last year. Ole Miss did kind of a got your number sort of thing, but it was a little bit of moving day. There's a group of 4-2 in the league. A&M is there with Florida and Mississippi State, and you know South Carolina is the cream of the crop in the league right now. They do have they've won like 43 straight home games dating back to February of 13. They get UConn in Columbia, all South Carolina here in a couple of weeks. And so there will be it'll be a decision day there.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I think the Aggies are in a good spot in the league right now. Of course, they would love to get that Arkansas game back from a few weeks ago. But there's a couple of teams that would love to get their Arkansas game back. Arkansas probably the surprise in conference play, also in there at 4-2 with their wins over Tennessee, A&M, and somebody else. They're on a little run too, so mm-hmm. But we only have them once.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
it's usually the RPI number one conference year, you know, in, ironically, year out. Is that
but it's not because right now the Pac-12 is actually number one in the NCAA RPI,
surge, huh?
And the Big 12 is number two early on. And but the SEC has the most ranked teams in the top 25 of any league, and so we'll see how that goes out there. You know, the Big 12 plays a little more truer round robin than the Big 12 and the Pac-12 do. Or excuse me, than the SEC and the Pac-12 does. So, you know, A&M, their only double opponents are South Carolina, LSU, and Ole Miss. So it kind of varies based on who you are in the league and who your rival is, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Yeah.
And but again, it's a very high level for sure, and as evidenced by the teams that are beating each other in this league. Mm-hmm.
Steve Miller with us here on Studio 12. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up this edition of the show in just a bit here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Fans, your nationally ranked track and field teams at in action on Saturday. It's the Texas A&M Quadrangular. The Aggies hosting Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and Arizona State inside the Gilliam Indoor Stadium. The action for that one gets underway in the afternoon.
Yeah,
information.
Is that how you say that?
Quadrangular?
No.
It's a big word.
I thought it was Gilliam.
It is Gilliam.
Gilliam.
What did you say?
Gilliam?
Not
there's
Gilliam.
An I in there.
It's not Gilliam.
Doesn't mean you have to say it.
Okay. Gilliam Indoor Stadium. My apologies.
Long ago when that facility opened, dropped the IA there.
Okay, well, that message did not matriculate across the hall into my office.
How long ago we opened that venue? Where's this guy's 4 or 5 years? Years behind.
The Gilliam Indoor Stadium.
I just read what they give me.
Do you work here?
Maybe not. Maybe I should check into that. Should we check into that? Yeah. We should look into that.
Late from lunch again.
Matt, Steve, and Will back
with
you.
That's the problem, is mine's on food.
This is Studio 12, right? Yeah, I know. That's the problem, is the food. Those chicken
Sorry,
bacon,
there's a track meet coming
chicken
up.
Chicken bacon wraps.
He reads that DQ in. Liner, and he's shut off the rest,
done, the rest of the day.
It mentions bacon, ranch, all that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
All the basic food groups.
So the exactly. Texas A&M Quadrangular inside the Gilliam Indoor Stadium tomorrow afternoon. Again, A&M, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and Arizona State. Matt, Will, and Steve with you wrapping up Studio 12 here on a Friday. And, you know, Steve, we're talking about the SEC race. South Carolina obviously with the upper hand in that, but the Aggies right behind them. But the fun thing on the women's side that you're also playing for, not maybe as important as a championship, but a very critical thing, is to get to play at home in the first couple rounds of the NCAA tournament. And, you know, right now, if you look at Texas A&M's resume, it looks like the Aggies are in pretty decent shape. There's still plenty of ball to play, but what's your take on that as far as postseason possibility?
That's the one thing that separates men's basketball from women's basketball in the NCAA. You know, our men's team doing so well. When they get the NCAA championships, they'll see their name called, and it's a matter of where are you going to go play at. Mm-hmm. And if A&M women, on the women's side, the top 16 seeds, more or less, so all the ones, the twos, the threes, and the fours, all have the opportunity to play at home on their home courts, assuming that they completed the correct paperwork, did all those sorts of things. They would play at home for their first two rounds, and that's a distinct advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Playing at home in the NCAA tournament. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just imagine, you know, baseball. You know, we saw how that can affect a home field advantage this last baseball season. Just imagine that same thing in basketball. And, you know, if our men, if they're seated high enough, they may get to play closer to home, but won't get to play at home. That's just how that works on the men's side. But for the A&M women, it is, a lot of it's based on RPI. And that's what the NCAA looks at. And it's also on the men's side. That's why you start seeing all these blind resumes, you know, try to guess your team. Well, for the A&M women, they are, after their deal at South Carolina, where they lost by one, moved up in the RPI to 16. Well, if you drew a line with your little handy number two pencil, that would, you're in. If it's that simple, you're in, you're a seed. Unfortunately, you're a four seed in that scenario. Nobody loves that. But that's kind of where you're at. So you're watching that. And you look at what we were talking about a moment ago with the teams in the SEC that are ranked just in the RPI. South Carolina is a 4 in the RPI. Tennessee's a 12. Kentucky prior to last night was a 13. And onward and upward on that. And again, that stuff changes weekly, changes by the game. Yeah. But that's one thing you're keeping an eye on. And same thing on the men's side. You know, who have you beaten over the last 10? What's your record against ranked teams? What's your RPI number? Who's your bad losses, key wins? Same thing happens on the women's side, but gosh, you get a chance to play at home.
Yeah.
That'd be big.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
They didn't get that chance last year. Season kind of, you know, didn't go the right way towards the end. They ended up going to Tempe, Arizona, which ended up being the least attended of all 16 sites, the one the Aggies went to, and ended up falling in the first round.
With an injured point guard.
Yeah.
An excellent one at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is you're in the discussion. You what you've done to this point in the season has put you in the position to have a chance. And now there's a ton of basketball left to play. But, you know, this senior group, I know that they have very high aspirations, and to be able to start that road at home would be huge for them.
Well, and the thing about it, their schedule – favors Texas A&M's women's team right now. They get all the big dogs, if you will. You read them off a few minutes ago. All those folks are coming to Reed Arena. A&M's road games are, you know, going to Alabama this week, going to Ole Miss, going to Florida, and Vanderbilt. Those aren't powers ranking-wise this season in the SEC, but Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, LSU, all coming to Tennessee, coming to Reed Arena. Protect your home court, and good things happen.
Yeah. And if you just think about what's happening right now, I mean, the women ranked 13th going into last night. I mean, they had a chance to rise in the rankings. The men are 8th and 10th, depending on which polls you look at. And I mean, I'm starting to think about who in the country is doing what Texas A&M is doing on the basketball court. You're nearly going to have two teams in the top 10. I mean, in the conference,
it's just a
South
couple.
Carolina is
– Maryland is probably a good example. Yeah, on the men's and women's sides, both very strong. No. And, you know, that's the there's not many people you can compare. Yeah. When you start –
The South Carolina men aren't near the top 10, but they got an excellent record, so there's a lot of excitement there.
You get both your teams – you know, we'll draw the line in the top 15. It's fun to go, oh, look at these eight schools all in the top 25. Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, now you got two teams in the top 15.
Yeah.
What if you go back and get two teams in the top 10? Well, that little little class of basketball prowess doesn't extend very far when you start eliminating some of the folks in those polls. And, you know, how exciting it is, both A&M teams playing at such a high level, and the atmosphere at Reed Arena just keeps getting better every game. And, you know, I'm assuming there's no tickets left. Are there any tickets left for Saturday?
No. And the following. They're both gone.
So you got one more Saturday after that if you still want to try to catch the A&M men. I mean, if not, see it on TV. Thanks for trying.
Yeah.
You know, students will be out there, but it's what a great deal, electric atmosphere over there for sure.
It goes back to your question. Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Billy Kennedy and Gary Blair are asking, are you not
This should be our new catchphrase.
What do you want?
Texas A&M Athletics. Well, and, you know, if you go down the list, too, you've got equestrian, who's in the top five. Baseball's going to start the year top five. Softball should be ranked to start the season. Both tennis teams, which are in action this weekend at home in the ITA kickoff, are in the top 10. I mean, it's a pretty fun time to be an Aggie fan.
Can we get Russell Crowe in his gladiator uniform?
He's probably
come
busy.
To
Will.
Aggie basketball and just ask that at center court before some games. Are you not entertained?
Then maybe see if he can shoot a half court shot.
Could he make it?
How about that guy?
Could he make it?
The other day. 5K, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys take in from this program?
$5?
Oh,
No.
5K?
5 cents? What? Something like that.
I have no answer for that.
He's done.
I have no
If Russell Crowe can come and just wail on you at center court, then I think we can get him here.
And then we have a gladiator-style match.
Yeah.
What if we had you both in those blow-up bubbles?
Now we're talking.
Against Russell Crowe. I mean, the ball that rolls, the inflatable ball that rolls that you get inside.
Yes, like a little rat.
We used to do sumos.
Well, yeah, same
concept. Can we get the sumos back out?
We need to bring Hershey's High Five back. That's the good stuff.
Oh, man.
On that note.
Hershey's High Five.
Studio 12,
and
Friday
the inflatable
edition.
Inflatable thumb out in front of Reed Arena.
Oh,
see everybody.
No.
Looked like it had old creases on the knuckles. It was an 85-year-old man's thumb, swollen to 19 times the size. All right,
we're out of here. Everybody,
you're going to run the aisles.
Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you at Reed.
Who wants a piece of chocolate?
This has been Studio 12 here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM.